Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Also, by the way, this morning, happy 4th of July, happy Independence Day as we celebrate the beginnings of our country. And I hope you're going to have some fun and some good ways to celebrate. It's a day that we look back on in our history, and we should enjoy that. But this morning, we're going to talk about a day that we are looking forward to, and that is the return of Jesus Christ. And we have been in a series for a number of weeks now on why Jesus came, and we're going to end that series on why Jesus is coming back. I love the sentiment of that song coming from Ephesians, that God would open the eyes of our heart so that we could see Him and know Him better. And I pray that He will open the eyes of your heart this morning, because I have some really, really good news for you. And that is that there is a great day coming. How many of you are old enough to remember a song that we used to sing called "There's a Great Day Coming"? There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. And by the way, people who complain about new songs and say they say the same thing over and over, songs have always done that. But anyway, there's a great day coming, it says. And then it goes on to say that there's a bright day coming. And it repeats that a bunch of times. And I don't know how many of you, when you think about the judgment day, how many of you think there's a great bright day coming? When we talk about judgment, that is not usually what folks are thinking about and talking about. You probably have some other words that you might be thinking of when you think about judgment and the judgment day. But I want us to focus this morning, as we are in this series or finishing this series on why Jesus came, we're going to end it up with why Jesus is coming back. And when Jesus comes back, it is going to be a great day. And I want to give you some specific reasons for you to know and understand why it will be such a great day. Judgment Day will be a great day because God will make everything right. God will make everything right. I want you to listen to the way the Bible talks about judgment. And this comes from Psalm 96. "Tell all the nations, the Lord reigns. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. He will judge all peoples fairly. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees and the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming." See, Scripture paints this idea that the day of the Lord, the day of judgment, the day when Jesus returns, is such a good day that literally all of creation is anticipating it. Paul tells us that the creation is groaning under the bondage of sin that we have brought into the world, but the world is waiting for a day when even the trees and the rocks and the fields and the oceans and the rivers are going to rejoice, because the day has finally come when God is going to make everything right. He is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and nations with truth. God is a good, fair, righteous judge. And the Bible looks forward to judgment. The Bible doesn't anticipate judgment with fear and with dread, but the Bible has this sense of anticipation and the sense of longing, because judgment in Scripture is the time, is the moment, is the place when God is going to make everything the way that it is supposed to be. And that is why there's a great day coming. It's a day when evil will be avenged. See, this is why God says, vengeance is mine. This is why God says, you are not supposed to take revenge. You're not the one who is going to make things right. Usually when I have a bad situation and I try to take it in my own hands and make it right, do you know what happens? It gets worse. God is the one who can take evil, who can take injustice, who can take things that are not fair, and in his hands, he is the one who can and will make them right. And so everyone who has ever been abused, everyone who has ever been mistreated, everyone who's ever been taken advantage of, everyone who has ever been done an injustice, all the folks who have patiently endured, folks who have lived right and done their best and didn't deserve their lot in life, all of those folks will finally get justice. It will finally be made right. It's the moment that Scripture looks forward to, when God will judge. Because judgment isn't about an angry old man. And that's honestly the image that a lot of folks have of God. This angry old man who is just waiting to punish and condemn. But judgment is about a very good God, a very just and righteous God, a very loving God who has a day planned, a day in store when things are going to get right, when things are going to be made right. And so there is this anticipation in Scripture, and there is this sense that on that day there will be this huge sigh of relief when it's just finally right and good. So there's a great day coming, because on that day God is going to make everything right. I want to give you another reason that it's going to be a really great day, and that is because, yes, there is a judge, but the good news is that the judge is Jesus. It's going to be a really great day because Jesus is the one who will judge. We often use an analogy when we talk about judgment, that we use the analogy of law courts. And I mean, that, there's a reason we do that, and that's a good analogy. But in that analogy, very often, Jesus is presented as the lawyer. But the better analogy is that Jesus is the lawyer and he is the judge. Acts chapter 17, verse 31 says, "For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man that he has appointed." The apostle's talking about God. He has set a day. And on that day, he will judge the world with justice by a man that he has appointed. So who is the man who is going to be the judge? He has given proof of this to everyone by raising that man from the dead. Who is the one who has been raised from the dead? It's Jesus. God is going to judge the world through Jesus. He's given proof of that by raising him from the dead. That's just one of many scriptures that make it clear that Jesus is the one who is going to be the judge of the world. And the resurrection, again, is the proof of that. But more than that, the resurrection is an example of what judgment is going to be like. The kind of judgment that God is going to bring through Jesus. Because Jesus' death was unjust. Jesus' death was not right. Jesus had not done anything wrong to be treated the way that he was treated. He was falsely accused. He was beaten. He was flogged. He was pierced. He was humiliated. Witnesses lied about him. He was shamed. His dignity was taken away. He was abused and he was killed. There was nothing right about that moment in history. There was nothing right about the way that Jesus was treated. The resurrection is a sign of the kind of judgment that's going to come, because the resurrection made things right. The resurrection gave life again to the Son of God. It restored Jesus. It brought justice to an unjust death. And so the resurrection is that picture of the kind of judgment that things that have not been right and things that have been wrong, that there is a day when they're going to be right. God's going to do that, and he's going to do it through Jesus. Jesus is going to be the one who is your judge, and that is very, very good news. And then the third reason that Judgment Day is going to be a good day is because those who believe in Christ will not be judged. Those who believe in Christ will not be judged. John chapter 5. Very truly, I tell you. When Jesus says very truly, he's getting ready to say something he really wants them to pay attention to. Something that's going to go against maybe something they have thought was true before. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Wow, Jesus has got a lot packed into that statement. He really wants us to hear it. This is true, Jesus says. I don't want to read it again. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. It's theirs. It's given to them. And they will not be judged, because they've already crossed over from death to life. And Jesus goes on in the next few verses to say that he has been given authority to judge, because he's the Son of Man. That's a title for the Messiah, because he is God's chosen one. And he says that a day is coming when his voice is going to cry out, and the dead are going to rise, and all who believed in him and all who followed him will hear his voice, and they will live. They will not be judged. They will have life. John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus said that if you don't believe in him, you're going to die for your sins. But if you do believe in him, then he's already paid the debt for those sins. And on judgment day, nothing is going to be owed, because the debt has already been paid. That is why it will be a great day. Judgment Day is going to be a great day. When God finally makes everything right, when Jesus is the judge, and those who believe in him will not have to pass through judgment, because he has already taken the judgment. The question on Judgment Day, and this is where we really need to pray for God to open the eyes of our heart, because this is such good news that it is hard to take in. The legalism that I was steeped in my youth still speaks to me back there in the back of my mind. And Jesus has to say, very truly I say unto you, that for those of us who are in Christ, Judgment Day is not going to be about how much did you sin. Judgment Day is going to be about how much were you in Jesus? How much was Jesus in you? Judgment Day, the great day, eternal life, hinges on Jesus. And it hinges on your relationship with Jesus. And so Christians should be the last ones to be afraid or uncertain about Judgment Day. We should not fear being judged on our sins. We shouldn't fear that we'll be judged based on what we did or on what we didn't do. The psalmist was right all those years before Jesus came when he said, "If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? Who among anyone who's ever lived could stand if what we had to face was a record of our sins?" So the question is, does God keep a record of sins? We all have this image of God, again, this grumpy old man who's looking down on us and who's pointing his finger and catching and saying, "Aha, I saw that one. I saw that one." He's writing them down. Where do we get that? Well, we get it from Scripture, but I want us to really look at that for a couple of minutes. Does God keep a record of sin? Does God write things down in a book? And the answer is yes. But he actually has two books. Over in Revelation chapter 20, we're going to start in verse 11. John says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it." That's Jesus. "The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And then another book was opened. This was the book of life." I want us to pay attention here. Let's work through this for a minute. "The books were opened, and then another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books." That's the first book. "Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life," that's the second book, "was thrown into the lake of fire." So judgment is going to be based on two books. One in Revelation 20, verse 12. One of the books contains the deeds of all that we have done. And it says plural. There are books. I think that's because for ever and ever, God's been writing these things down, and it requires a lot of books. So there are books and books and books that are filled with all of our deeds. Is God writing down the things we do? Yes, he is. He's writing down the sum of our life in these books. Book of deeds. But in Revelation 20, verse 15, it says there was another book. This one is called the Book of Life. Later in Revelation, it's going to be called the Lamb's Book of Life. And in this book is the name of all of those who belong to Jesus. It's the Lamb's Book of Life. In this book is the names of all those who are going to have life. And are going to have life because of what Jesus has done. And because, going back to John, they believed in him. They had faith in him. They were obedient to him. Paul references this book over in Philippians chapter 4 when he says, "Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life." So yes, there are two books. And here is why Judgment Day is going to be such a great day. Because the second book trumps the first book. The second book is more powerful and stronger than the first book. If our judgment relied solely on the book of deeds, not a one of us could stand before God. The psalmist was right. If the Lord keeps a record of sins, who among us will ever be able to stand before him? But there's a second book. All your deeds, I think, are being written down, a record of your life, the good that you do, the bad that you do. And I don't know about you, but that's not very good news to me. Because I know me. Not a one of us would ever measure up. Not a one of us are ever going to be able to stand on those scales and our good's going to be outweigh our bad. But it's the second book that makes all the difference, that makes Judgment Day a great day, because when your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, all of your sins are forgiven. The psalmist also says that our sins have been, they've been taken away as far as the east is from the west. That's how far your sins have been removed. Our sins are forgiven. They are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Christ's blood purifies us from all of our sins. And so when your name gets entered into the Lamb's Book of Life, all those sins that are recorded in that book of deeds are washed clean. On your pages, when you're in Christ, on your pages, the blood of Jesus just cleans off those pages. And anywhere that there had been marks against you, anywhere there had been things written against you, it's covered in the blood. And so all that's left in that book are the good things that you've done. And when Jesus looks at you and looks at your life and looks at your pages, thank God that what he sees is the blood of Jesus. When he looks at you, he sees you as one who's covered in the blood. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That Jesus, who had no sin, became our sin so that we could become his righteousness. This great transaction that takes place in these books. He takes all of our sin. We get all of his righteousness. The Bible says we're clothed in Christ. When God looks down on us, when we are judged by Jesus, he's going to see his clothes on us. The Bible says we're united in Christ. Jesus is going to judge and we're going to be with him. And so it's going to be okay. Now, the sad part of judgment is that those who are outside of Christ will be judged on their deeds. If their name's not in the book of life, then they're going to be judged by the book of deeds. That's why those of us who have benefited from this incredible good news have got to share it with other folks so they can hear about Jesus and what he wants to do for them when they put their faith in him, so that for them, just like for us, it'll be a great day. Now, I think we're still going to be judged on our deeds. The Bible has too much language about being judged by our deeds. Romans chapter 2 says God will repay each person according to what they have done. But think about that. If all of your bad deeds have washed clean and they're covered by the blood, then when you get judged by your deeds, what are you going to get judged by? The good that you've done, because that's what God is going to see and what he's going to remember. And that's not because of anything you and I have done. That's because of what Jesus has done. And the Bible is full of this reward language, that those who are in Christ are going to be rewarded. Those who have done good with what he's given us, they're going to be rewarded. And when you're in Christ, that's what he's going to see in his book. And so, for Christians, for those who are in Christ, those who have been covered by his blood, Judgment Day really, really is going to be a great day. And we'll end with Revelation chapter 14. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. They will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them.